Thank God, it is always good to be home. As the saying goes, there's no place like Singapore. I flew through the night on Sunday night and gathered a bug which has troubled me the whole week, but I believe I'm on the mend. The church in Perth is in good shape. Please, if you are praying for it, continue to pray. Brother Ling Kang is doing a great job. The questions I'm asked, when will he come again? Can he stay longer? I say, you pray, God knows. Now, dearly beloved, we have a good topic today. Timely, relevant, and needful. Please turn to the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 4. Remembering the author, who is he? Peter. You know much about him? He was the perhaps most outstanding of the 12, don't you think so? Remembered lovingly for the one who always took on the position of spokesman, although he sometimes spoke out of turn. Nevertheless, he was a kind of a born leader. Now you may remember, on that wonderful morning at the lakeside of Galilee, our Lord commissioned him, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, and feed my sheep," 3 times. Does it ring a bell to you? Here Peter is fulfilling his promise to the Lord. 3 times he said, "Yes, Lord, you tell me to feed the sheep, I will do it." Until the 3rd time he says, "Lord, why so many times? You don't trust me, huh?" Now he fulfills. He's written 2 letters, epistles. And this chapter has got many pertinent lessons. No longer should we live after the flesh is what we are focused on this morning. How are you living, conducting your life? Not after the flesh, according to the lusts of men, but always according to the will of God. Are you doing this? It's not easy, dear friends, not easy. If you've lived long enough, and been tempted oftentimes, then you know what it means to do God's will. So we are told here, no longer should we live after the flesh or in the flesh, according to the lusts of men, according to your own carnal or fleshly lusts. What do you mean by this? The natural feeling in you. You feel like getting angry, you lose your temper. When young men and women reach adolescence, they feel like doing certain things. They do it because they feel like it. That is to be carnally minded. And God's word says that is death. The end result of your planning, doing, responding, always according to your own fleshly feelings, the end of it is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So this is the theme. Please keep this in focus. That's what we're thinking about. How we all can no longer live in the flesh or after the flesh, but to change over to a different level. To be spiritually minded. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you live always according to your own carnal feelings, you can never please God. When I was in college many years ago, we had a song that the freshmen like to sing. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. And you go on and on until everybody's so happy. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. That is a song of the flesh. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, who are those who qualify for this? Everyone who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, surrender his own life and believe in him, trusting in him, receiving Jesus as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. There can be no two ways. It cannot be a Christian and say, I don't have Holy Spirit. You cannot be one without Holy Spirit and say you are Christian. It doesn't work. So these are the things we ought to first understand. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Now, today we are in what we call the end times. Do you know what the end times are? Just the period before our Lord returns. And every believer must keep that in focus. If you're a believer, you must have the next stop always held high in front of you. My Lord is coming back for me. Am I ready for him? The world is changing fast. Before the Lord returns, there is going to be a great downfall of the church and of believers. Do you know that? I pray that you will not be caught in that falling away. The world is changing so fast, it almost leaves us breathless trying to keep track of what is happening. Silently but surely, society is being transformed. The Singapore today is so different from the Singapore in the 1950s. You cannot imagine it. You were not born yet. But we were there in Prinsep Street, starting the Sunday school and bringing in the children. What a different lot of children compared to today's children. Oh, there is a great change, what they call a sea change. Amazing change. We are in the last days. Please remember, while you sit there, may God impress you through His Spirit that we are living in exceptional times. The days of Sodom are here. What are the days of Sodom? Read Genesis chapter 19. There were the two angels, and the people smelt that temptation. Two young men, very acceptable. And it says almost the whole city surrounded the house of Lot. They say, bring them out. We're going to have some fun with them, with a gang rape. This is awful, isn't it? Singapore today has entered the days of Sodom. A few months ago, we had the AWARE business that caused all of us to be aware that is a society called AWARE. Now that society is out to promote the days of Sodom. So we are right in the center of this great controversy. Now, are you alarmed? I was reading Straits Times about 4 weeks ago. I mentioned again. Even the world is alarmed by what is happening. The Straits Times feature writer, Miss Serene Goh, I don't know whether anyone knows her. But the church is asleep and she's raising an alarm. What is it she's talking about? He says, sex talk is where attitudes start and begin to form. How does your young son or young daughter grow up to be like that? Suddenly, become a woman or a young man and doing things you never thought he would ever do. So she writes, candidly, sex talk is where attitudes begin. How does a person shape his attitude?
Mangue si, mangue do.
So people read and then they get ideas. And the one thing that is pervading society today is the computer. Out of the computer comes the internet. Internet is a great net and a great vast reservoir of information. Good, bad, indifferent. More of it is evil. And the problem is, everybody has access to it who is attending a school today. You cannot stop it. It is a double-edged sword. Your son, your daughter cannot study without the computer. So you cannot stop her. Stop him having a computer and have access to all the evil things in it. So this is what this feature writer is very concerned. So this kind of sex talk is quietly changing lives. Now let me just share some of her fears and her observations. He says, you know those 12-year-old girls? Some of them are married by the computer system, by what's going on in the internet. And not just married, some are divorced. Going on behind the scenes, all these transactions take place. Are you shocked? I was. Maybe you know all about it. But Straits Times is quite good. They keep abreast of the things. Underage minors. Not long ago were models of sweet innocence. Today no longer. Why? It is fashionable. At one time, virginity was the symbol of the honest, pure young girl. Today, hardly. When I first started my clinic, all those young girls from Indonesia, Chinese, came accompanied with mother. And before I do anything to examine, mother would say, "Doctor, be careful. My daughter is not married. No, she's virgin." That was 50 years ago. As time goes on, no more. Mother doesn't come along. Young girls walk in. "Doctor, can you find out whether I have got sexually transmitted disease?" Wow. You're dealing with a different situation just because of time. Now today the situation is much, much worse. Much, much worse. Where are we? So Straits Times is alarmed, but we are asleep. You know, the church is hardly reacting to it. I say, we have got to wake up. And you fathers and mothers who have children, what are you doing about it? Straits Times says, over to you. Any problem, call father, call mother, and they will solve it. I say, is that right? Unfortunately, many fathers and mothers, they have their own problems. Also the same kind of problem. And how can they solve their children's problems when they can't solve their own problems? So today we have panicking parents. Don't know what to do. Concerned teachers, authorities. I read in the newspaper, in my Christian newspaper, many sociologists in America are very worried because their children are all using the computer internet and they are delving into knowledge otherwise unknown, unavailable. Today is at your fingertips. You just know how to click, it's there. What do we do? You can sweep the thing under the carpet. That's like an ostrich mentality. What has gone wrong with our system? Answer is prophetic. The Lord has told us it will be so. It will be so bad in the end time when Sodom pervades. The days of Noah are on earth when two words characterize society. Number one, unbelief. You know that this year is a celebration of the 200th anniversary of Darwin's birth. So all those who are the followers of Darwin, they say, hooray, three cheers for Darwin. He's liberated us, emancipated us from the shackle of creationism. Now we know we're not created. We just came out of nothing, evolved over billions of years. Let me just explain to you why this whole theory is false. If it is a true theory, it does not change, you know. When I went to university, my book said, Darwin says, mankind was evolved 500 million years ago. You know what they tell you in school today? Not 500 million, but 3,000 million is gone up 6 times. And it keeps going up. That all that you see in the universe, the stars and heavenly bodies, plus the people on earth, plus the animals, plus all the plants, everything came out of nothing. And materials had a sudden explosion called Big Bang. And out of Big Bang came everything you see. Where do you come from? Do you know your grandfather is the monkey there? And everybody says, hooray, that's right. God never created us. So in England today, I was discussing with a friend, England, which used to send missionaries by the hundreds and thousands to evangelize the unsaved and the savage people in China, today is going around with buses. She says, there may not be a God. There may be no God. You don't have to say there is no God. Don't say there is no God. Say maybe no God. That's enough. Create doubt. You know that's how Satan brought down Eve and Adam. Yes, God said. Has God said that he created? Ah, you begin to doubt. Are you doubting? Today, people are searching for answers. What is the answer to the present problem? Can you tell me? Ban the internet. I said that is impossible. Call the parents in. I said that is foolishness. Everybody wake up and take up the problem and solve it. I said, can you? I can't. But there is only one solution that we in the church, we as Christians understand. Man cannot solve the problems of humanity. The whole world is plunged in sin. Who can solve it? Except man return to the Creator. Acknowledge Him. Fear before Him. Come before Him. Acknowledge Him. And say, Lord, have mercy on your people, on this whole created earth. That is the only way. So it is a matter of mind games. This is what this writer in Straits Times is telling us. How do people's minds work? And so it is true. Even in the Bible, it is how your mind works. How does your mind work? Do you have a certain system, a certain discipline, a certain way of approaching a problem? What is the way to approach a problem? This is where the action is today, mind games. How is your mind being controlled? Our children's minds are at stake today. Whosoever wins the kids' minds wins. Right, I repeat that. You have kids going to school, are you worried? If you have never worried, start worrying for right now, today. Because they are exposed. Everyone who goes to school carries a computer. That is that danger box. And your children are exposed. Are you concerned? Whosoever wins your kids' minds wins. If you do nothing, your child will be won over by something that comes out of the internet or out of SMS. People can send messages left, right, and center and poison your child's mind until they are convinced this is the way Where their mind is set, they're lost to you forever. So it starts in the mind, your mind, my mind. How do you get your mind fixed and correctly fixed? The key is, do you have the mind of Christ? Yes. How do you do, why do you do those things you do? Why? Because the mind directs you to do things. Understand? When a person has lost his mind, no sound mind, Alzheimer's, he doesn't know what to do. Or schizophrenia, the mind is ruined already. But thank God for a sound mind. Now, while we have a sound mind, make sure that you know what to do with this mind, because that mind must direct your thinking, your doing, your every action comes from the mind. So this is the battle today. And you need, I will repeat this until you not forget, you need to have the mind of Christ. Every Christian must come to Him and say, Lord, please help me. I want to have your mind so that I have the ability to know your way. Please turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There are a few verses here, very instructive, very profitable, and you will be greatly blessed to know these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading from verse 10 to 16 to the end of the chapter. All right, are you there, dear friends? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, writes to us gospel truth for you and for me, applicable today, 2,000 years after he wrote it, because he wrote it for today. What does he say? Verse 10, God has revealed them to us. What is by them? The things we ought to know from God to us. And until and unless you have come to the position where you daily wait on the Lord and say, Lord, what is it you want me to know? Of your own self, you make wrong decisions because your mind goes wrong. Your mind needs to be directed, guided, and strengthened. All right, verse 10. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God you cannot know. For eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, nor enter into the heart of man the things God has prepared for you. You cannot know them until God reveals them, until you are willing to receive that instruction. God will teach you. Then your mind has the mind of Christ. Read on. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that is crucial. Those who keep on reading novels, going to cinema and seeing those trashy things, or follow various philosophies, you are going to get the spirit of the world. But the spirit which is of God, verse 2, the second part, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God is not unwilling. God is not willing. He's not willing that any of us should perish or any of us get the wrong ideas, the wrong teaching. He's not willing. But you must come to Him. Do you? Do you read His word? Dear friends, so many says, too busy. Every morning, wake up just in time to go to work. Oh, rush, rush, rush. So on your agenda, there is no place for God. I say you are in the very precarious and perilous situation. You say, no time for God. Until I'm in big trouble, then I have time for God. Why? Satan's deception. Of course, you're busy. I'm busy. Who is not busy? So all of us say, we are busy. So no time for God. God is put in the back burner, somewhere else, until we are in trouble, they say, God, come. So, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Please, every day ask, Holy Spirit, teach me. You know, if you're willing, you pray earnestly. Say, Lord, I want to learn. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. But don't go to psychology books. The Holy Spirit is not there to teach you. In the Word of God, read. Do you have a system of reading? I had about 20 who agreed to follow the daily system through the Bible in 1 year. How are you all getting on? I know there were many who did not respond who are reading and assimilating, absorbing God's precious word. Direction for life, what to do, where to go, is all there. Now, read on, please. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth. He is a great teacher, for this is the spirit of promise. Jesus says, I will go, but I will send the Holy Spirit to you. You must call on him, because he is a great teacher. He will show you all the truth. He'll teach you, and once you are taught by the Holy Spirit, you will not make mistakes. You will not go wrong. So it says here, you compare spiritual things with spiritual. You cannot understand spiritual things by reading psychology books, because it's not there. But when you come to the Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, please teach me. I have a problem with my family. I have a problem with my children because they are not listening to me. That's a problem. Very common. Why? Because they know so much more than you. Your mathematics is behind time. Your reasoning behind time. Everything is like so old and old-fashioned. We got the newest, the latest. Therefore, you cannot talk to them. They talk to you. This is the problem. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Your children may be very smart. They are being educated at the natural level. Natural man level. Absorbing the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of God. That is spiritual. So the only way you can begin to teach your children is if you are qualified spiritually. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know the safe principles that are in the Word of God? That is the only thing that they can meet the hour's need, the problem that is raised by this lady in Straits Times who says, sex talk is the beginning of the worry of all the peril coming to your child because it's there all the time. Pornography. You say, no, I am studying geography. But actually, you press the wrong buttons, you get not geography, but pornography. And it is there. It is there. I say, how do you know? I don't know. But I know that people tell me because I don't have a computer. Now, dear friends, those of you who have to use computers, that temptation will come. It will come because your friends are going to tell you about it. And then what you do, just press the right buttons. I can also have a grand session. And so it goes on. Temptation of the eyes, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And there you go. So don't blame it on your children. It goes. This kind of lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes is no respecter of age. You ever heard the saying, old man, young heart? True or not? Absolutely true. How do I know? I know because I'm old. But that idea of eyes being attracted by a new paper. Every day there are half-clad women, half-undressed, in the new paper, every day almost. And are you not attracted? You confess it. Like, are you or not attracted? He said, no, when I see it, I throw it away. Well, you are amazing. You are a saint. Verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Pray God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Not the evil spirit. Not any spirit. Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? It's the Spirit of Jesus. When you pray, Holy Spirit will come and direct you through His Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yes, when you read, you can understand. It is so plain and so instructive, so profitable. Are you reading? While I'm talking to you, I say, please continue in your heart to say, Lord, help me to understand. That is a prayer. And we know that every prayer made according to God's will is answered. So you must pray. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man, because he already has the word of God, and he's following the word of God. He cannot go wrong, because he is directed from the mind, which is the mind of Christ. You cannot go wrong if the mind of Christ is in charge in you. Verse 16, in conclusion for this passage, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Who does know? Who can know? Answer, wait on the Lord and call on him, read his words, submit yourselves to him. Then you can say, verse 16, the last part, but we have the mind of Christ. Here is the solution. Not psychology, not calling in the authorities, not the discipline master of the school come in and he will solve your child's problem. Not at all. Only the mind of Christ. And when you have that mind of Christ, you can make a start. Not that your children are going to listen to you. There is no guarantee, you know. No guarantee at all. But doesn't mean that if there's no guarantee, I don't do anything. Your child is yours. They are precious. You do nothing, one day you'll grow up to be a Miss Singapore. The less clothing, the better. And then I will do anything you like, even to take off all the clothing. That's what it says in the newspapers, you know. So this is it that's going on. Their mind is your responsibility. How can you teach them? How can you train them up to have a mind of Christ? Here it is. Who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ because we submit to him, because we know everyone who comes to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to follow you, and none other. The Spirit of Christ comes into you and leads you where he wants you to go. We must all win the battle. And there is no way to this victory except you come to the Lord humbly, pleading, confessing your inadequacy, your inability to solve that problem, and come to say, Lord, help me. He will give you his mind. He will tell you. The matter that we have is a social problem with deep, deep spiritual roots. Yes, please understand. I said a moment ago, once upon a time, virginity was a virtue. Precious. Mother takes the child from Indonesia and says, doctor, be careful, huh? Today, no more. So that has gone by the board. What must we do? I say, recall and return to the old values and let God rule in your home, rule in your lives. There is very little we can do. And the very little we can do is the thing that we must do, for we have no other way. I gave you a little card. I'm told that many people did not know there was a card and they dropped it. Wow, I've lost mine also. So amazing, amazing. So sorry. I think this is Satan's work. Okay, here it is. Just hold on to it, please, dear friends. So our solution today is not in any kind of counselors, psychologists, discipline masters in the schools. We need God's Spirit to give us the mind of Christ. Let me read this card to you. One side, the title side, is My Covenant with the Lord. What is a covenant? What is it? It's an agreement that you draw up. So this is what I agree to do. If you're not agreeable and you don't want to do it, don't do it. Yes, throw it away. But if you are concerned,
about your own future or your child's. Read it seriously. Now let me read to you. This is my covenant with the Lord. It's not you and me. I am only concerned about you, and I give you this as the solution to your present problem. My covenant is what you agreed with the Lord and you promised to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. And I know on your terms, not on my terms. Yes, he knows best. He has the solution to your problem. Now turn over to the crowded side where there are a lot of words. My covenant with the Lord. Number one, I put your name there. Now this is a commitment. If you mean business, write your name there. I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to look at it. Not going to check on you. You yourself must be willing. You must check on yourself. That is the way God works with you. I covenant with my Lord Jesus, who died for me. This is the reason. This is a connection. Why we are making a covenant? Because Jesus died for you. Because his death won for you everlasting life. The prize that we all are aiming for, the day when we will all be gathered to our Lord Jesus. But all because my Savior suffered and went to the cross for me. So here it is. My covenant with my Lord Jesus, who died for me, that from this day, September 13, I will, by God's grace, faithfully read and obey God's word every day. Are you willing? If you are willing, carry on with this little covenant. You say, why do you need to rewrite all these things? I say, you don't like it, throw it away. Nobody's forcing you. But this is the way out of God's word. This is the way of safety. And this is the way to solve your problem. Maybe your own problem. Maybe you have an internet problem. Maybe you have a pornography problem. Or it could be worse. Maybe a gay problem. Maybe, I don't know. But it is something that is pervading today. Society goes from man to man. And for them to degrade themselves, to descend to the most filthy and awful kind of relationship with another man and say, this is it. This is heaven. I say, it is terrible. So who can cleanse you from that sin? Who can solve that problem for you? No man can. No man. Only the Spirit of God. And you must be willing. You must come to him and say, Lord, I confess. I need you. And when you are willing and God sees you are willing, God will heal you. God will save you. All right. If you're willing, I will read and obey your word, God. Every day I will read. I will obey. There is no one to force you. It must be out of your own volition, out of your own heart, and happily, willingly, I want to read and I want to obey. B, I will keep myself pure as God's holy temple, for you have come to Jesus. You have been baptized. Wow, what does that mean? When you were baptized into Jesus Christ, into his death. You followed him to the death, and you were buried with him, you died with him. And then because you have come to him in faith, you will be raised with him to a new life, so that the new life you now live, you no longer live because of your own volition, but the mind of Christ is now in charge of your life. You know that? Right? So B says, I will keep myself pure as God's holy temple because I am a Christian. You cannot be a Christian unless and until Holy Spirit is living in you and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you are none of his. This is what the Word of God says in Romans 8. Read it. C, I will deny self and the lust of the flesh. Yes, it's so attractive. I'm stimulated. I'm attracted. I cannot help it. I cannot help it. I said, wrong. Wrong. You can't help it. Think of the price paid for your salvation. Think of the coming judgment that will send you to an eternal hell. For all these who break God's law and refuse to repent, they have no part in the inheritance of God's everlasting kingdom. No part. I'm sorry, I cannot tell you. There is a way around. So, let's read on. D. Shut out all evil sights and sounds through media sources, internet and other channels. There are so many other channels. Magazines, newspaper every day. No shortage of rubbish there. They will pollute your mind and cause you to want to lust after those figures. And you say, it sounds good, looks good, what? Say, of course, I don't deny they look good. But the end of it is destruction. So, E, I will keep God's holy commandments, especially the seventh. So do those who make fun and make light of sex. Let me remind you, please understand. The first marriage on earth was organized by the Creator. God says, Adam, all the animals, they are not good for you. They don't meet your need. I will create out of a rib of your side a woman that is fit for you to be your helpmeet. Suitable for you, someone who thinks and talks the same language, who can assist you and be by your side, and together you will serve the Lord in holy wedlock. The first ever. The best thing any young girl can present to the prospective husband is that I come before the altar to be married with my virginity that is God-given. That is the best prize. And don't just throw it away to say, well, it's not fashionable. Nowadays, everybody does it. Not everybody, dear friends. Those who follow the Lord and are determined to make their lives count for the Lord, they don't do it. I say you can with this to help you. Yes, of course, it's worth not the paper, except it is practice, except you embrace it and say, this is good for me. You take this home. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may thou teach us thy will and thy way, that we may all have the mind of Christ, that he as the Lord and master of our mind will direct our thinking and our doing, that our lives may be made pure, clean, fragrant, beautiful for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I pray for some young women, girls, that you preserve them in the most holy faith, that they may understand that their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that their virginity is the sign that thou hast given them, that they are your children, walking with Jesus, following his holy law. O Lord, dismiss us with your blessing, that we may all understand, with Christ, a great hope, with Christ as the master of our mind and directing our thinking, we have a very secure future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.